whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It was a tough season, man. It sucks, man, missing QB1, man. It really hurts a lot, man. You know, not having him, but, you know, Snoop did a great job of, you know, filling in whenever he learned the offense, you know, getting us going. But, you know, whenever you're missing, you know, your franchise player, man, it kind of sucks. So.
As a captain, what is the message you have to these guys in the offseason? You won't feel this at the end of the season,
I see. I don't even know, bro. You know, this is my first time. I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but. You know, at the end of the day, bro, I got to do what's best for, you know, for my career and, you know, what's best. Because I'm too much of a competitor to be, you know, just out there.
Tyreek Hill there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaOfHollywood.com.
Maybe Tyreek's ready to give back some of that money since this isn't working out here. It's been so bad for him. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us. Kyle, good mornings. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Hey, man, I got to tell you. Let's just start. We'll start at the top there. The owner comes out. Obviously had this thing written and was ready to go on his announcement that the GM and head coach would be back and we're going to fix it. And any problems there, they fall on me as the owner, but we're going to try to win a championship next year and all that stuff with the 8-9. What were your thoughts? Were you surprised or do you think they'd run it back with the same group?
They better fix it. I'd say that coming into 2025, you know, the regression is never a fun thing, and there was regression for the Dolphins in a number of different fronts, and I can appreciate not having, like, an overly reactive knee-jerk. I kind of felt like Mike was going to get another year regardless, and obviously that game script on Sunday didn't feel great, and you don't have your starting quarterback once again. And I kind of had some hope that they'd at least shake up the brain trust that's kind of collaborating together after seeing they kind of doubled down on some ideals and some ideologies this season, and they didn't really pay dividends for them, and it felt like the offense got more limited even when Tua was playing. So I think that was my personal hope to see what was going to happen. And we'll see what ultimate, like, hirings and firings they do end up making, because it's still very early in the process, and it was just the affirmation that, hey, these two guys are going to be back. But I was kind of hoping for a little bit of a shakeup.
Yeah, let's run through a few things that have popped up a lot. The short passing game, it looked good against some of the struggling teams, and it was a high percentage for Tua and everything. Did we all of a sudden run more of that short passing game because of lack of trust in the offensive line to keep Tua healthy, where we went away from something down the field that we had done so well besides just the two deep, which is getting to be a weak-ass excuse. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think part of it is you did hear in the offseason, if you wind the clock back, that they wanted to be more of a ball control offense. And they wanted to have longer drives and sustained drives because they were so explosive play reliant that the defense was getting ran through late in games because they were on the field so long. Well, and the Dolphins, from a total defense perspective, they came into this game in Week 18 ranked well in a lot of, like, raw metrics, but a lot of that was because they had taken so many less snaps because the Dolphins were routinely out-snapping opponents by 12, 15 snaps per game. So I appreciate that school of thought of it, but the whole thing is, like, you can have a really efficient West Coast offense-oriented and timing-oriented passing game, but it can't be the only pitch in the bag. And we've seen them have other pitches in other years. And now it's just a matter of, okay, what do you need to do to be able to put all of those pitches that you've shown across three seasons into the same offense at the same time? Because it felt like they really just leaned into year one. They had no screen game to speak of whatsoever, and it felt like they spammed screens relentlessly this year. So can you find the balance? That's going to require some more investment in the areas that you guys have kind of glazed over because you thought you could coach your way around it.
So let's talk about the guys that you're talking about, the big drop-off and not just all the things, the crazy-ass things that Tyreek Hill says all the time, and whether it's for a reaction or he just needs somebody to talk about him, whatever. His numbers were way, way off from a year before. Like, they dropped off the cliff. How do you read into those numbers on him or just all the things he does well they just went away from?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's being more of a short timing offense the way that it is. A lot of times the free access is going to get you preempting his read and to open access with hitches and throws underneath and slants underneath and outs underneath, like all that. That's legitimate. That's good. Like, get up the line of scrimmage, see what's available. Tyreek's running that same in-breaker that he's run for 3 years, but the way that the coverage shell is set up, we're going to preempt that and get the ball down underneath a little faster to get the ball in somebody else's hands to get run out to catch. That's fine. It felt like when you watched on film, those same throws were there at times this year. It felt like it was a much less point of emphasis. And I do wonder how much of that was trying to keep him and Jaylen Waddle clear of some of those big body shots that they took across the last 2 years. Because Tyreek played more snaps this year. He played like 200-something more snaps this year than he did last year, despite the fact that the production numbers were down.
Yeah,
not throwing those breakers with these smaller receivers into the teeth of the defense in the middle of the field, you reflect on a lot of the times that these guys got banged up. Right. Not every time they got banged up, but it took some shots. Especially Jaylen Waddle took some big shots across the middle the last couple of years.
I got to tell you, so,
that to me feels like that's a part of that preservation of those guys too. And then it was just not the focus of the offense this year.
So Jaylen Waddle, another guy, as you said, had a quiet year for a guy that got paid like a one. So you paid a lot of money for those two guys, and yet they didn't get used like it, or didn't get the amount of targets, or weren't as big a part of the offense. That's a hard one to figure out. What kind of year would you say Jaylen Waddle had?
I think he had a better year than the numbers would suggest. Because, again, all these same things that we just got done talking about with Tyreek Hill and his implementation are true for Jaylen, too. But then Jaylen, more often than not, is not the first read in the progression behind Tyreek. So, like, the domino effect, and that's where I think you get into, like, the asset allocation. And you can pay two number one wide receivers, but if you're going to pay two number one wide receivers, the style of your offense, you know, would probably look like what it looked like the first 2 years instead of having a much more balanced attack. So I think that's just the conversation that's going to have to be had is asset allocation from a dollars, a cash, a cap, a position perspective. And you're going to have to sit down and have the honest conversation with yourselves as a team about where you invested. Do you want to stay committed to that track of investment, or is it a course correction time and an adjustment to kind of rebalance the scales and give yourself a chance to fill out the rest of the roster if you like kind of the ideals that you tried to apply this year and you want to lean more into that and get more efficient and equipped at doing that with better players?
I think Tyreek Hill is going to be back. What do you think, considering everything on and off the field or in the locker room?
I don't have a gauge on what's going to happen, but I do think, and I understand he's an outstanding talent, right? But this stuff at the end of the year, it kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And you are talking about a receiver that's on the north side of 30 now. And it's just a question of all the things we just talked about from an asset allocation perspective. And how long is that going to continue to be sustainable?
Yeah,
and that's something I would look at very closely if I was the brain trust. And I believe the way that they structured some of the money that he's due for 2025, typically an option bonus, or I think is a small roster bonus that's due in March, but the vast majority of it is due a little later in the year, closer to the start of the regular season. And a structure like that kind of gives you some flexibility for a window and not paying a guy a bonus just to then turn around and trade him. So they have options and flexibility, yeah, despite the fact that they just kind of reworked how that money was going to be laid out over the next 2 years.
All right, so an interesting one is Patrick Paul got to play a lot of football at the end of the year, both left and right tackle. So do you feel like, okay, got a lot of work, he didn't grade out necessarily great, he had his growing pains, do you trust him to come back if you're the GM/head coach and say you're starting at left tackle next year, so get ready?
Hey, I think he put a lot of really good stuff on tape. Was it perfect? No. Did you expect it was going to be perfect? No. And I think you can roll in. Here's what I want them to do, not just at left tackle, but a lot of spots. And you think about what happened at backup quarterback the last couple of years. Don't get complacent, right? You have a second-round pick. He looks really good in flashes and spurts. You could tell he's still raw. If you told me Tron Armstead's not back and Patrick Paul's penciled in to be left tackle, I'm fine with that being the expected course of action, but don't just get complacent and sit on your hands and don't do anything else at the position. Bring somebody else in, whether that's a flyer, whether that's a young guy that didn't work out somewhere else but has tools that's obviously available, whether that's drafting a guy that can play tackle and you end up playing him inside at guard to get him into the starting lineup, but it gives you more flexibility if it doesn't work out with Pat. Just, I felt like there were too many spots, yeah, last year where it was, well, we saw this guy and we feel like he can do it, and it's a finite resource league, so we're just not going to do anything else at offensive guard. We're just not going to do anything else at backup quarterback. And those were the kinds of things that bit you in the butt this year.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about that. Robert Jones, Liam Eichenberg, Isaiah Wynn, do you have any of those guys back? Would you trust any of those guys back to be a starter?
I think if you signed, whether it was Liam because he can play theoretically tackle, guard, and center, or if it's Rob Jones because I think he's a better guard than Liam is, or if it's Isaiah Wynn because he could play tackle and guard and he's better than both the other guys but not reliable from a durability standpoint, if you brought one of them back, I'd be fine with that, okay, with the intention that you're a depth piece for the offensive line and you have experience playing next to some of these other guys. But you only really have 8-9 spots to carry on a 53. And that's three guys you carried right there.
Yeah.
and none of them you'd feel good with, I think, in my opinion, being answers for the offensive line. So pick which one you like. If you want to bring one back, understand that you're going to have to actually invest in this position this offseason. And don't just sit on your hands and say, oh, well, they know the scheme now. There's familiarity. We'll be fine. It'll sort itself out because, yeah, it didn't do that this year.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because everybody's been screaming. Chris is, and by the way, not one of his strengths, but going to have to go out and find, maybe potentially draft some guards in this draft. Would you agree with that? That might be a top of the priority list or no?
I'd probably spend on one. I'd at least, and I don't know that I'd spend like $22, $23 million per season for Trey Smith at a Kansas City type of spend on one, but I would at least like to have some kind of proof of concept of one of your guys that you're bringing in to be a starter to be on the offensive line, whether that's a veteran, whether that's a guy like Mekhi Becton, who played tackle and went to Philadelphia and played right guard for that team this year and was a sufficient level starter and obviously has tackle traits with some tackle flexibility to help you out, because I know they like that. I would not just draft a couple of guys and,
yeah,
say, well, these are the guys they're going to play. I would definitely sign somebody in free agency with an intent to be a starter, and then I probably would draft a tackle-capable player and probably a guard-exclusive player, and I'd really ramp the competition up for all those spots.
You ready for the other one now, the big problem that nobody's really talking about? He missed 6 games, concussion and hip combination.
Yeah.
Tua's got a big contract. He's coming back. He's a starter. You and I agree on that. But What do you do now as a backup? You've seen Tyler Huntley. He looked better, but still in that last game, that cold weather did not look great. So what do you do going forward to cover for the games that Tua can potentially and probably will miss going forward?
I would sign a veteran, and it can't be a cheap veteran. It's not like a Mike White kind of veteran, like somebody that started games and has experience. Whether that's an Andy Dalton or a Joe Flacco or whatever, like that's the kind of caliber of like that guy I think should be in the room. And then I would also, if you want to bring back Snoop Huntley and let him compete, great. But I would probably also draft a guy with some tools, or draft a guy that you feel like, even if he doesn't have tools, kind of sees the game in some of the same kind of way, where a lot of times the guys that don't have the bigger arms kind of all get by with seeing the field well and having anticipation. That's how you get to a high level at the college level. But I would come into camp with four guys with realistic chance to make the 53. And I'd let them battle it out, and I'd carry three. And that's just an unfortunate reality of the world that this team's going to have to live in, and it's already a finite resource league, and it's going to be an even more finite resource league from a roster spots perspective for the Dolphins because of that.
All right, boy, we got so much to get to. Real quickly, safeties. Is there a chance you take a first-round safety considering the production you got out of that position and amount of missed tackles?
Yeah, I'd rebuild the whole room. And I would not think twice about it. There's a couple of good safeties in this year's class. There's actually a lot more than a couple that are maybe first-round consideration guys. If you told me that Malachi Starks from Georgia was the pick, you'd feel great about it. If you told me that you went a different direction and came back and got a guy on day two, I think you got a chance to get a starter at that stage as well. But that's a room also for me is going to be a vet and a rookie. And I think as you kind of work your way through, you kind of see a common trend, a trend of liking to have vets and rookies infused into rooms for competition. I don't know what pathway you get there, but I'd love to see this team add some more draft picks.
Hey,
I think that's a really big piece.
Okay. And so I was thinking about this because I'd love to talk to Mr. Ross. Probably won't get a chance to. Probably relationship's just about done. But I was just curious if you could tell Mr. Ross, and he asked you about the team and how close they are to being one of the four or five best teams in AFC, how close would you tell them right now from what you've seen?
I think there's a sturdy nucleus of talent that exists here, and that's a large part of the battle because that's how you can kind of forge your identity on either side of the ball. But having such a one-dimensional offense is obviously unsustainable, and I think this team's ideology and how they chose to go about it needs a dramatic shift, and that hopefully it only takes 1 year to get that realized. But that's kind of the big thing for me is some of the things that this team's believed and invested in the last 3 years of how to build a roster has kind of lost its way from what it was originally supposed to be. And if you're committed to building a consistent winner, getting flashy eyes for big names with big contracts and accelerating your cap, this needs to be a methodical build, and there's no shortchanging that. So, unfortunately, you kind of have to undo some of that to get back to where you wanted to be. And I think the team can contend next year, but I do think we need to have an honest conversation about how we're going about building the roster.
So you think like I do, like they put all that money into it to win right friggin' now, and it didn't happen. You agree with that last year, they did, the spending they did there before the season started?
So I thought they did really good with the drafting by volume in 2020 and 2021, and not all those picks hit, but you don't expect that they're going to. And then you get past 2021, and there's some momentum, and you bring in Mike. It's like, oh, let's trade for Tyreek Hill. Oh, trade deadline. Let's trade for Bradley Chubb. And it's like, you got nothing to show for two draft classes. And that's what you're experiencing now, is the players that you brought in were big money contracts, and you got little to no contributions from the draft classes to keep cost control down.
Yeah.
And now you had a squeeze that you went through this year where you had to try to get cute and thread the needle, and it didn't work. And this is exactly why you don't try to build a team that way.
Right. You got to get back to good old-fashioned drafts, man. I'm with you. Full draft classes and kick ass at some point. I am with you. Instead of trying to patch it with sexy big names and give up draft picks and all that stuff. And by the way, the one that drives me nuts the most, you can tell I need somebody to talk to this morning. Cam Smith drives me nuts. That one is, I don't think he's ever going to be anything because I don't think you can ever trust him from work ethic to everything. What do you think?
Well, and the unfortunate thing with Cam, too, is Chris kind of the justification and endorsement that Chris gave of the pick is not the kind of justification and endorsement that you want for the pick. And that, oh, yeah, my son was on the team with him.
Yeah.
And we felt really good about it. And, you know, those personal connections, whether they're justified or not, saying that part out loud is and then seeing what it's looked like is just it's not a good mark on the resume.
Well, maybe they just partied together a little bit at a bar or something. He saw, man, I like what this guy says when he's out, you know, having a couple cold ones. Hey, thank you, as always, man. Appreciate you coming on, Kyle. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Joe.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast. Man, I told you it was going to be some good stuff, man. No question about it. Kind of like talking about your South Florida Chevy dealers. That's some really good stuff. You know, there's a certain power that comes when every choice you make is the right one. And in this case, the choice is Chevrolet. You're going to love the view from the inside a Silverado truck. Oh, you're going to love them. Our big, durable trucks. Absolutely one that's perfect for you. 14 stores conveniently located in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. You got to go. If you like trucks, check out the 2024 Chevy Colorado. Powerful and performance ready with easy-to-reach tech features. Take charge of any situation with that 2024 Silverado with impressive towing and powerful engines. They got them all for you. Dominant force with unlimited screen time. The 2024 Chevy Silverado HD is smoking hot, and we got some great deals for you right now. Chevy Silverado, Colorado, and the Tahoe have what you need to get things done. Chevy trucks will get the job done, work or play, whether you're towing and having some fun or doing some serious work. What do you want to do, man? Chevy's got it for you. Chevrolet together, let's drive. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today.
Time for your weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 57 degrees and cloudy. No rain in the forecast. Joe, back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We kept him a little long there, Kyle Krabs, for joining us from the host of Locked on Fins podcast and a lot of draft stuff as well. Trying to hold off on the draft stuff, man. I want to wait till the playoff games are over for college football and figure out who's got. You got a pretty good idea on what the team needs. You guys, listen. You guys been following this a lot of you. Hell, a lot closer than I have probably to have a good feel for that. And Kyle gave you an idea of some of it, including safety positions and guards and those type of things. Got to build up that offensive line, man. There is no question about it. Then we don't have to worry about throwing it deep. Are we going to run it? Are we going to just – you look at some of the teams that are really good right now in the playoffs besides the quarterback position. And, again, you know who the three guys are. Three teams in the AFC probably have the best chance to win it all. A guy in Buffalo, a guy in Baltimore, and a guy in Kansas City. Probably two of those guys, one of them's going to win the MVP. By the way, and I am a Josh Allen fan, man. I've seen what he's done. He's taken his game to a new level. They said he had to cut back on turnovers. He did. He took care of the ball. You know, a lot of people saying he didn't have as much talent, a wide receiver, and look what he did. I mean, he just had a great year, but and there's a big but why I started with that, Woody. I don't know how you don't give Lamar another MVP. 900 and something yards rushing, over 40 touchdown passes, only threw a couple of picks, and only one wins his division, but only one less win than Josh. And again, I know who you have playing with you, and those type of things. I think Lamar, you know, we're talking about Josh got a chance of beating Kansas City. And I know why we're doing this, because Baltimore gets into playoffs and something happens. And that team last year was so friggin' good. That team that beat the Dolphins up and down the field, and Lamar threw up a perfect QB rating, and I was like, my God, nobody's going to beat them. Nobody's going to beat them. Everything goes through Baltimore. And I look at this team again this year, and I'm going, who's going to beat them? They've gotten a lot better on defense, and they got all those weapons across the board on offense, including the big horse running the ball, and Lamar next to him. who's improved his game as much as anybody in the pocket, the way he throws it. Yeah, I am really curious to see what's going to happen at MVP. I really am. Not that MVP is the most important thing. I'm with everybody, man. Win a ring. That's it. Can somebody knock Patrick Mahomes off the ladder? Can somebody get him? It's going to be fun, though, these games. I think Woody and I were just looking at the games. Going to be some great games. We'll do it later in the week, but going to be some great games this week. I think some of them are going to be close. There could be an upset. There could be a road or two upset in this first round. There's a chance some wild card teams are going to beat some home teams that won their division for sure. So, I think first round the NFL playoffs, wild card round, is going to be a lot of fun, man. Some really, really good games. We got a lot of stuff going on here this morning. I know we got all the Tyreek drama and what's going to happen and will he be back or not. I think it starts with, like, if Tyreek wants to be here, you'd love to have him. I mean, he's a really good weapon. You traded for him, gave up a lot for him. You've seen what he can do. What's he got left in the tank? I don't know. But obviously, we changed our offense so friggin' much last year. From the explosive plays to the short passing game, and we went through about 6 weeks. We couldn't run it at all. Then we had a game or two where we ran it pretty good, and then, we're all over the board. But I'm with everybody, man. Let's fix that offensive line. Let's fix that offensive line. Let's get it fixed. We got to take a quick break here, but we have a lot of sound still from yesterday. I thought it was pretty interesting, and a lot of it had to do not on the field for games, but what was taking place at training camp and cleaning some things up. And part of that is guys showing up late. The guys were very honest about it, said we got a problem with it. There's some guys going to take when they're over here a little more serious. I got great appreciation for those guys, including Bradley Chubb, for coming out and talking about that. Offensive lineman going, we don't have a problem in our room, but we know we got a problem on this team. Is it really that hard to show up on time? I get it from time to time. Man. Stuff happens. Just like the rest of us. Time happens. Hey, I can't be there on time. I'm going to be late. But for guys late all the friggin' time, I don't understand it. And the practice thing, I don't know. Do you got to go back and evaluate the practice and being overly friendly to veteran players? I don't know. I think Mike's got to look at a lot of that stuff and figure out. I know he talked to his team about, I got to be a better leader. Well, Mike, you've given a lot of guys a chance, and you just let your leaders do it. And if they can't fix it, then you need to fix it. You talk about your veteran leadership and stuff, it's great. But if you still got the same problems, then that veteran leadership, and hell, honestly, it's not their job. It's not all their job. You got to take care of it. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back in a second. A lot more stuff to get to here this morning, including the Jimmy Butler, man. Is there a chance when we get back from this long road trip, including blowing that 17-point lead in the fourth quarter last night, is there a chance that Jimmy Butler could be back in the lineup? That's awkward, man. That is awkward. That's getting separated, moving out, and then all of a sudden coming back. No, it's a little more than that. It's divorced and coming back. It's almost signed the papers and coming back. Something like that. Hey, I'll tell you what, Beverly's Jewelers is about love, man. Jeff and Amanda and everybody over at Beverly's Jewelers. Boy, the only place I've gone for 35 years is Beverly's Jewelers. They've been around for a long, long time. You know, Jeff, you and I have been around together there, brother, for a long, long time, and I do know a thing or two about the diamond engagement ring, but it's so much more. It's about any occasion you have coming up now that the holiday season's over. They have a huge selection of earth-grown and lab-grown certified diamonds backed by their low-price guarantee. You're not going to find the same diamond for less anywhere. Beverly's has unbeatable selection of diamond studs and tennis bracelets. Jewelry, really, for any occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, anything else. And yes, if you're getting ready to pop the big question and you need the perfect diamond and the perfect setting, that's what Beverly's Jewelers does, man. That's the number one thing they love to do. They got a large selection and something absolutely perfect for you. You can save big, man, right over there right now. Whatever it is you're looking for, you can even craft a piece that is truly one of a kind with their state-of-the-art design studio. With interest-free financing and free gift wrapping, Beverly's really makes it easy for you. And if you need extra cash, bring in your old gold and jewelry. They'll buy it on the spot with no hassle. Hey, I trust Beverly's for a long time, and I think you will too. Just head out to their Fort Lauderdale showroom off Commercial Boulevard or shop online at bevjewelers.com. Hey, what are you waiting for? I always tell everybody this. Beverly's Jewelers really is where South Florida gets engaged.
It's a lot that goes into it, and to make it great. And it's like, it's not necessarily a one secret recipe for a team. It's like pieces got to come together. Opposed to just if we just do these three things, that no, it's just 10 things, 12 things that got to go right for you to have a great team. And starts with Mike. You know, he coming with that approach that we're going to be a great team, nothing less, and holding everybody to that standard every day, and people fully buying into it. Everything that he's preaching, his emphasis, people fully buying into it. Players, coaches, staff, everyone alike. And you get 100-plus people on one common goal, then you got a chance to reach greatness. But when you got so many moving parts, and when it's disconnected, you see it. You see sometimes offense doing well, defense not. Or offense and defense doing well, special teams not. But to really be great, you got to consistently have all three phases. And it goes past the field. The field is just the finished product. Like during the week, that's the real process. So the pregnancy of a team is what we have to focus on. People just want to see the baby. But we really got to go through them growing pains and go through that, the ups and downs, to really get there.
All right, that was Teron Armstead. Trying to help everybody out. We heard from a lot of the veteran players yesterday, wrapping up exit meetings with coaches and talking to the media about what happened and all the things that need to change. Everybody's got a little different take and all the things that need to happen. It was an amazing third year from what we saw the first 2 years, with all the explosive plays and all the talk about Clayton and Duper, and man, this is the best ever. It's better than that. And, you know, my friend Mark Duper's told, he said, make sure you tell all those guys to calm down a little bit, because Clayton and I did it for, and Nat, we did it for 10 years, not two. And before you guys decide, and you guys want to all start this new school stuff. So, yeah, it was a lot different offense this year. Lot different. And your quarterback's out six games, man. There's really nothing you can do except you got to go out and you got to get a backup for right now that's good enough to win you games. Cold weather, warm weather, high altitude weather, wind. Probably got to spend a few extra bucks and bring somebody else in. And then commitment to the running game. I guess all this stuff, a lot of it goes back to the offensive line and putting a group of guys together with a couple of key backups and working on getting that better. But there's some different areas. Got to make a decision on Tyreek Hill, what you're going to do. I think he'll be back. I think there's a lot of barking and not much biting. I think the other guy, Jimmy Butler, I think there's a little bite to that, not just the bark. I think he's been working on this for a while. He started off the year kind of cool with, all right, they're not going to give me my extension. I'm going to show them. And then something changed. I don't know what, but something changed a little bit, and he misses 10 games, and some of them are injury. And then, you know, he had the flu bug for like 3 weeks. The flu bug was going around, and I mean, he was – they went from thinking he might travel to Orlando and miss like four games. I mean, they thought he might be healthy enough the next day, like, hey, I feel a little better. I'm going to go play against Orlando. And the next thing you know, he's back and playing 25 minutes and just not into it. He can say whatever he wants. Your eyes aren't lying to you if you're a Heat fan. You watch that game on TV or in person. He had 9 points because that's all he wanted. It wasn't an aggressive Jimmy. Nobody said anything the first night because they won. It was the next game. And all of a sudden, the barking came out, and he lost his joy, and I got to get my joy back, and I love Miami, but not the basketball team. And you know Riley's sitting there listening to all that stuff, and Mickey and Andy, and they go, oh, hell's going to break loose. When Pat gets back and somebody goes, Pat, we got to show you. Now, Pat's hands-on, man. That dude likes to know what's going on. He likes to know what everybody's talking about. He wants to know it all. And then we got a little conduct detrimental for 7 games, which just happens to be the 7th game. Will be the last road game coming back. And now we're trying to figure out, will they trade him before that? Or will he be back in the lineup? And what will he look like in the lineup? Does he come back and try to score 35? Or does he play his 25 minutes over in the corner? Here, you take it, Tyler. It's your turn to shoot again. Anyway, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up, man. Got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Yeah, we got a lot of news out there as season's over for the Miami Dolphins. And Miami Heat had a 17-point lead last night with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and end up losing in double overtime. That is a tough loss, and no time to worry about it because they've got a little bus ride, a couple hours, or a quick flight, either way they go, to Golden State, back to the Bay Area to take on Golden State Warriors. Right now, I want to talk to you about Atlantic Men's Clinic. I love Atlantic Men's Clinic. I'm a patient. Oh, yes, I am, full of ED and low T till about 10 months ago. I got rid of them both. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you're going through it, now, I'm not afraid to tell my buddies, my group, hey, man, I got some problems. How about, yeah, man, I'm going through. Things aren't, my energy's shot. Sex drive is gone. My wife's making excuses for me. It's so, oh, you're just tired. You're stressed out. No, something's not right. Something's not right. Yeah, I knew what it was. Atlantic Men's Clinic, when I met with them, they told me what it was after I got all my tests done and got the results back. Hey, if you're going through it and you're constantly tired, you're going through the new year, get some changes, man. If you're sluggish and low energy, your sleep pattern's off, you just don't feel the same, your workouts, you get no results. Matter of fact, you're not even working out as long anymore. Atlantic Men's Clinic can likely help you with a resolution. And if it's something that's important to you, like it should be, whether you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s and going through it like a lot of men are, sooner or later, it happens to every guy, by the way, out there, schedule that consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic. You get all the testing done. You'll meet with their professionals. You get the results, and they got a game plan for you. If you do it, you get great results. If you walk out of there, you got the same problem. They have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. The most important one is that first appointment, 877-455-7300. Please pick the phone up and do it. It works. I'm telling you firsthand, 9.5, 10 months, it works. 877-455-7300. Visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.